I rented The Darkest Hour. Is about 2 hours.
2 hours.
Good observation. Yeah. Good observation. It is fraudulently entitled.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. We don't have anybody walking in here imminently. That's because we already have a whole bunch of good conversation ready to roll for you. One with Carson Palmer, the just-retired, very successful NFL career, Heisman-winning quarterback from USC. In fact, we ask him the question, who is the best USC quarterback of all time? That's just the tip of the iceberg. He weighs in on the new-look Cardinals as they move forward into 2018 and beyond. And I got to tell you, boy, he's just a delightful fella. Emma VP, you were on hand for that one. Did he strike you as the same?
Yeah, he was great. He was funny, too.
He was very funny. Why do you have to point out who else is funny? You can't ever tell to say Dave's funny. You both were really funny in that.
That's implicit.
Wait, it was? Maybe I brought
you
that out.
You being funny is implicit.
Oh, okay.
Am I right?
I mean, now you're trying to – I see what game you're playing here. You're trying to draw me into your trap to announce that I think I'm funny. But that would make me vain, and I'm not going to play that game, sister. All right, listen. So we have that for you. We have Mike Vick sound for you. Some other things going on here that I want to get to very quickly. Oh, yes, and I don't mean to breeze past that, the first overall draft pick. Perhaps – what do you say, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass? Mike Vick. Am I right to say one of the five most famous football players of the 21st century?
Yeah, he changed the game. He almost should be in the Hall of Fame just because of how important he is to the game. Like, it's almost a disservice to be like, oh, well, you know, the game dynamically was different post or him getting drafted, and then to not include him is just like, well, you're missing a big piece of history. That's honestly how I feel.
Boy, yeah. That sounds hyperbolic, but you might be right, and certainly when you talk to today's quarterbacks, they do invoke the name as Mike Vick. He is sort of the godfather of that style of ball. Now, Gronk, Jason Witten is retired. This is now official a week later after we already pretty much knew he was retiring, but I guess now he's made it official to Jerry Jones and the rest. I mean, is there any debate? I'm all for your sports debates. I think I like to engage in those as much as anybody, if not more. But Gronk, is there any argument for him being the greatest tight end of all time? Any argument against that, I should say?
I don't think so. I mean, right? He's the only tight end you really ever had a game plan for or couldn't even stop on the field.
In fact, I used to say that the difference between Jerry Rice and the second best at his position was the greatest at any position in pro football conversation. I now think maybe Gronk has the greatest distance. Is that true?
Who would be two? Tony Gonzalez, Gates, who?
I think people would probably say Tony Gonzalez, yeah. I guess that's still fairly close. Anywho, yeah, maybe Gronk needs another season or two to fully stretch that one out. Next, I wanted to tell you that we also have coming up Tank Lawrence next week. We had a great sit down with him in Dallas. Also, breaking news, the two Melvins, not one, but both of them, Ingram and Gordon from your Los Angeles Chargers. We're going to do something later in the month. I'm very excited about that. Be on the lookout there. And one more thing about the game of life. Actually, we'll get to the game of life in a second here. Real quick, everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks. Everybody loves buzzing about NFL QBs and the guys just drafted. And you can go back. In fact, you heard at the very start of the show, that was me and Money talking about those. We had a great conversation about all manner of things post-draft there, and he is the radio voice of the Chargers, and we talked about what did we talk about again, me and Money? Oh, yes. Are the Chargers, gonna talk about distance between first and second place, are the Chargers best position of any team in the NFL to run away with their division? That was I thought that was an interesting conversation. Go back and dig that one up. Now, though, everybody's weighed in on who they think the best quarterback out of the class just drafted is going to end up being. Here is another guy, first overall pick once himself, Michael Vick, weighing in on who he thinks is going to wear that crown.
Dave, Dave.
I was surprised, as I think a lot of Steelers fans were. I heard the buzz that Mike Tomlin, same neck of the woods as you, fancied Lamar Jackson because he saw a lot of Mike Vick. in Jackson. Is that true?
No, I can see that. I can see Mike Tomlin looking deep into drafting Lamar and figuring out, would this guy fit our system? Could he be the long-term answer? I can see him vetting out that process and making sure that he do it right.
What did you think of Baker Mayfield going first overall?
Oh, man, I think it's awesome for Cleveland. Baker's a great talent, and I was his biggest fan. I think I even said something about him on Twitter in 2017. So I'm excited for this kid. You know, I'm excited for the Cleveland Browns moving forward, even though some people might think that's crazy, but this is a really, really talented team.
Well, all right, I'm not going to call you crazy, but is he the best in the class of the QBs?
I've been already called crazy, but making good predictions.
Who's
the
number
one? Years, I see Cleveland Brown not being the bottom seed in that division. They don't want to be the bottom seed.
I thought you were going to say something actually crazy, like they're gonna be the first seed in the AFC.
No, I won't say that.
Yeah, you're not
ain't that crazy.
So, but for the record, Baker Mayfield, the best QB in the class.
I can't say he's the best QB in the class.
Right,
that remains to be determined. That is to be determined.
You to determine.
If you ask me in 5 years, I'll tell you who was the best QB in the class.
I'm more
ask
courageous.
Me in 2 years, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you who it is right now. It's Josh Rosen.
I beg to differ.
We'll
who
see,
knows? We got five to choose from. You listen to
Dave Demeshek. All right. Hard to argue with. And I told Money this, and if you heard the podcast earlier in the week, you heard me say this once, but I'm going to name drop a second time. Joel Klatt, an esteemed college football analyst, also said, I've seen Baker Mayfield succeed too often to doubt that he's going to make it in the NFL. So that's powerful stuff, too. And maybe Mike Vick and Joel Klatt combined know more about it than Dave Damashek does. But I'll leave that to you. Now, here's a game of life thing before we get to Carson Palmer. Our pal Michael Fabiano, you know him. He's the Hall of Famer when it comes to fantasy football. He kibitzes about this. I don't know if he's Hall of Fame at managing, though, his social media accounts. Where do we come down on this move? He goes out there for all the world. He posts a picture of his truly lovely girlfriend. I've met her. She's a beautiful person, very nice person. And he puts out there, though, outkicked my coverage, right? Something to that effect on all platforms. That's a foul, right? That's a penalty in the game of life, Spaghetti. You don't get to go out there. I said to him, what's this about? He said, I'm being self-effacing. I said, no, you're not. You're humble bragging. Where do you come down on that, Spaghetti?
Yeah, and speaking as a person who I'm a huge Fabiana guy, similar taste in music, Yankees fan, like I'm totally on his side.
Similar taste in music. Yeah, he likes Poison and White Lion.
He also likes Alice in Chains and Metallica, stuff like that.
Okay.
He's but anyway, I think it's a bizarre move. You can't, first of all, to use all platforms the same picture, and it's just a picture of just her.
Yeah.
It's because it borderlines, like he just wants praise from people saying like good job, and like I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Alex Gelhar and Marcus Grant, two other of our favorites here on the show, who obviously buzz about fantasy football themselves, and I asked them about this penalty or potential penalty in the game of life. They brought up in it, well, they agreed with me, obviously, but they went one step further, and I thought this was a fascinating question, and I now give it to you, Czech Republic, and weigh in here. If the metaphor is that you always hear, and I'm not a huge fan of it in general, I outkick my coverage, right, everybody? Because what you're really doing, again, is you're humble bragging, is what you're doing. Like, hey, look, I found someone who's really good looking to hang out with me. What's the other side of that metaphor? If you are better looking than your mate, how do you put that into punting/kicking metaphor? MVP, you're the wordsmith.
I'm going to have to think this one over.
Okay, think that one through.
Yep.
And we'll get all those guys on here. But in the meantime, #DDFP, let us know. What is the counter to I outkicked my coverage? Is it a block punt? You know, did you pooch it on purpose, though? For some strategic purpose? Is it a pooch punt? I think that's maybe what it is.
Fumble. Onside kick that one.
Yeah. Onside. Fumble the snap.
Yeah, you don't get my strategy,
fumble
but
the
trust
snap.
The other one, we like to think globally but act locally. MVP, here's another potential yellow flag falling on the game of life here. Eddie Spaghetti is out there on social media talking about how he had an encounter, a celebrity encounter, with Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, he's been tweeting about
it. And he claimed that she made eyes at him. What's the story there, Spaghetti?
Well, that recent trend on Twitter was talk about your most mundane celebrity encounter. Uh-huh. So mine was She's probably the biggest name I've seen, and I lived in an Airbnb in Hollywood for 2 weeks, probably when I moved here.
Great. And, all right. I'm with you so far. So, she's a celebrity.
Big-time celebrity. Right. I left the Equinox gym, not to brag. Had a free week there.
Okay.
And right after the gym, so I had a tank top on, I know which you hate. Still kind of, like, sweaty, whatever, but I think
gross.
I looked okay. And we stopped at a coffee shop. I'm not a big... I only like chain coffee shops, so I did not go in and order. My girlfriend went in to order for both of us. I sat down outside, and as close as I am to Emma, just imagine a glass like window next to us was right where Rachel McAdams was sitting with another guy, and they're both on their laptops, possibly going over a script or a contract, what have you.
Okay.
And she looked more times – like she – doesn't have to look at me, but she chose to look at me more than one time, and I noticed it.
Do you see the conundrum that you've presented now? It's not mundane if what your claim is that Rachel McAdams is making eyes at you.
It's
right?
mundane because nothing
Correct.
Led to it, though.
Correct.
Nothing. She didn't come out and say, like, hey, like,
no,
what, you want to go?
No, you interpret it as something far from mundane.
You and Fabiano apparently park your cars in the same narcissistic garage, right, Emma VP?
I agree.
Wait, it's not narcissism, exactly. We don't need to define what it is other than that is another example of humble bragging.
Correct.
Oh, it was just mundane.
It's just kind of a brag.
I was just out. I didn't look my best. I was all sweated up, but I looked good enough for Rachel McAdams.
He just kind of saw a trend on Twitter and took advantage of the opportunity to brag about the time that Rachel McAdams made eyes at him, which she probably
did. Don't find that story terribly satisfying. Emma VP, you're the writer. Maybe for next week you can punch up that mundane story and make it jazzier. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think this could be a new thing for us in general. Emma VP steps into more vanilla stories that should be more satisfying, and you make them more salacious or whatever.
Well, I'm in.
You take it, Emma VP, and you run with that noise. By the way, this is not humble bragging, or maybe it is. I don't know, Emma VP. Once again, you let me know. If you saw it on social media, and if you haven't, I encourage you, Nate demand that you go out there and track this one down. Michael Vick. And Emma VP, you were on hand for this story. You heard him just talk about the quarterbacks. But also, my relationship with Seven began when we were in the green room on Friday night at the draft, surrounded by football glitterati. I mean, Rod Woodson, TJ Houshmandzadeh. We caught up with both of those guys. We'll have that for you later on. All these Hall of Famers running around. As far as Jim Brown over there, Bob Lilly that way. And I am tying my tie talking to Emma VP absentmindedly, and I look up, and I see Michael Vick and his wife, neither of whom I've ever met, staring at me. And I couldn't figure out why, and they waved me over from about just 15 feet away, and they said, hey, that was pretty impressive how you could tie your tie like that. And I said, well, thank you. I've been doing it for a while. They said, you didn't even have a mirror. And I said, yeah, it's my skill, and one of my many life skills. And Mike Vick said, hey, would you mind showing me how to tie a tie, Dave? And I said, yes, I will, Mike Vick. Yes, I will. Now, that's mundane, teaching somebody to tie a tie, but it was with Mike Vick. Does that count as a mundane encounter, MVP, yes or no?
That's tough. It's a mundane task, but that's the whole point. It is, because the whole thing is
Thank
celebrity.
You.
It's, you know, oxymoronic, but that's what it is.
Thank you. Spaghetti, you agree?
Yeah.
Do you see where you went wrong and I went right?
But nothing, at least yours had an outcome. Mine was like, what could have been?
I got one.
I mean, talk about arrogant. What kind of arrogance does it take to say what might have been? What do you think? Rachel McAdams was ready to abandon her life and run off with you? You gave her a condescending head shake, like, sorry, I'm taken.
I don't think she would have abandoned her life. I think I would have just hitched on to her movie stardom.
I wish you and I could talk some Rachel McAdams, but I really don't think my girlfriend would like it, you know, that kind of move.
She kind of saw what was going on. She was like, she made a bet. She was like, if she comes out here and
says
something.
Oh, wait, you're with your girlfriend there.
Oh, of course, yeah. But she was inside ordering because I don't know how to order at not like non-chain restaurants, coffee shops.
Poor Rachel McAdams. So much success, and yet she can't have the one thing that she really wants, a role in Eddie Spaghetti's life.
Yeah. Hmm.
Emma VP, you have a celebrity encounter?
I once showed Jane Lynch where the rice cakes were at a grocery store.
Jane Lynch,
yes.
Actor in roughly half of the movies and TV shows of the last 12 or 15 years.
Right.
Best in Show was probably her breakout.
Mm-hmm.
American Pie.
We were just talking about 40-Year-Old Virgin the other day.
I think her scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin, I really can't get into it on this podcast, but there's one scene that everyone watched that movie, they'll know that I think it's one of the funnier scenes in like comedy movie history.
She is dynamite. Best in Show, though, to me is my favorite of her stuff. That's because it's one of the best, one of the funniest movies there's been. You've never seen that spaghetti?
Again, with the trend, movies that you've watched, I've never pretty much ever seen.
Never seen Best in Show?
No.
That's a failure, right, MVP?
Yes.
You've seen that one, right? Waiting for Guffman?
Nope.
You never saw Waiting for Guffman, MVP?
I didn't, no. I did see Glee, though.
I don't care if you saw Glee.
Okay.
Saw Glee. Best in Show.
I caught that show.
I've never even heard of it.
Right. Oh, come on.
You never heard of Glee?
I've heard of Glee. I didn't
never heard of Waiting for Guffman.
No.
Christopher Guest is one of the great comedic actors and creators of the last of my lifetime, last 40 years. All right. Disappointing. Disappointing in both of you. Do better next time. All right, do we want to get to three? Not Josh Rosen three, but Carson Palmer, his predecessor in that Cardinal three. Is it time to get to that now?
Let's do it.
All right, let's get to it then. It's time for my conversation, which I have to concede, I was positively surprised by of just how much fun I had talking to Carson Palmer. I hope you have half as much fun listening to it. Here he is, everybody. CP, Carson Palmer.
You're listening to Dave Damashek. You're listening to Dave Damashek. You're listening to Dave Damashek.
All right, look who we have, everybody. He is a retiree. Also, he played pro football and he played college football. It's number three. That's the number I associate you with. It's Carson Palmer. How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
I get that right? Three? Is that do you?
I wore three.
You self-identify as a three?
No. I don't self-identify with a number, but that's fine. I'll go with three. I like three.
Do you self-identify as a Bengal, a Cardinal, a Trojan, or otherwise?
I think a little bit of all of them.
Hmm.
I loved my years and playing for USC was unforgettable. It was an amazing experience. I loved my years playing in Ohio. Played for a year and a half in Oakland, which was really, really cool. And then to finish out my career in Arizona was really special and an amazing opportunity. Some of the people I met, some of the guys I played with, unbelievable situation and way to end it all.
Yeah, so you feel as you sit here now, I mean, it is kind of weird that you're in your late 30s and you're a retiree. Have you absorbed the enormity of that you've got nothing but time?
No, I'm not. I retired from playing football, but I'm not a retiree. I can't just shut her down and sit on the couch and eat Cheetos.
I can.
From here on out?
And I'd be willing to put it to the test and see how long I could do it. I don't know.
Yeah,
we're
very, very different people, Dave.
All right.
But yeah, I don't look at it as I'm done. I'm really looking forward to what's next, and I don't know what's next. I'm not in a rush to decide what's next, but I want to start a new career and do something I'm passionate about, just like I was for the last 15 years and had a lot of passion and playing the game of football. But I'm not going into retirement right now.
Maybe, just a suggestion, maybe you could live off your brother's dime going forward. Seems like he's doing good stuff with all the QBs out there.
It's about time I started receiving some benefits from all the time I put in with him and nurturing him and bringing him into adulthood. And, that's all me. He won't tell you that, but that's all me. But, yeah, he's got it. He's got a good little career that he's really getting going, and he's got 19 different things going, and he needs to really kind of funnel 19 down to like 17 at least. But yeah, he's doing really well, and I'm really proud, and it's fun to watch him doing what he's doing.
5 years from now, how will we rank all time? And I don't want your modesty here. That I won't stand for. Rank the USC quarterbacks all time. 5 years though. Let's give Sam Darnold a shot here to work himself in, but how will we regard in football lore?
Yeah,
you know.
Well, if he wins a Super Bowl within the first 5 years, if you win a Super Bowl, you automatically jump whoever's in front of you that hasn't. So, but considering I played 15, he's going to have to do a lot in five. But if he wins one Super Bowl in five, which he can do, I think he jumps to number one.
So my aforementioned request for no modesty has been met. You're putting yourself one, huh?
Well, who?
Listen, I'm not going to debate
there hasn't
you. I'm
been,
just saying.
I mean, name NFL USC quarterbacks.
I'm not.
There's
listen,
not a ton.
I'm not here to knock you down.
You're an instigator. Just, you're instigating.
I asked the
you're
question.
You're jibbing and jabbing, and I'm taking it, and I'm throwing it back to you. So
I like that you're rugged enough to do that, especially since, as you know, I have named you. And now it's been like 3 years, but I have not shaken from this opinion. If you were to say, what is an NFL QB? What's he supposed to look like? I always say it's Carson Palmer.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, you're a handsome devil.
Thank you for that. You are too. You are too. I like the beard. That's a good looking beard.
You could get
solid
that
beard.
No one's.
Mine comes
no one
in like orange and red, and my buddies make fun of me and call me a redhead, which there's nothing wrong with, but I get made fun of. That's not a beard you can make fun of. That's a good looking beard.
Yeah, you're very nice.
Good
I
for
appreciate
you.
That, Carson.
Great
Palmer.
Facial hair.
Who to you is number one though? Who's the most handsome QB out there in your book?
See, being a redhead, I'd say Andy Dalton.
Well done. Well done. Support the cause. Tell me about FedEx. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm here on behalf of FedEx, and I was fortunate enough to win the FedEx Air Award in 2005 and 2015. And what FedEx has done with this is really cool. Everything FedEx does is awesome. I mean, I live in Idaho now, so FedEx is big. I got to get
stuff in. It is like magic
what
they
out.
Do.
It's amazing. So,
better invention in, you know, over the last like 50 years, FedEx or the microwave? I think most people would say a microwave, but if you think about it, microwave, you don't really want to cook anything in it. But FedEx, the fact that your stuff that you ordered the day, one day, is there the next morning, that's a miracle.
It's amazing. It's especially when you have young kids and diapers and baby wipes and baby shampoo and FedEx, everything comes in a FedEx box. But I'll tell you, I might one up FedEx. The corrugated box industry, the cardboard boxes.
Wow, yeah.
Because now you've got Amazon and you name it, Belden, and I'm looking at corrugated boxes everywhere. But let's get back to the point. So I'm here in behalf of the FedEx Air and Ground Initiative and what they've done. They're currently, right now, donating $10,000 to the future of the FedEx Air and Ground winners. These kids that are coming into this draft, they're the future winners and recipients of this award. But over the last 16 years, FedEx has donated $1.7 million. And if you want to one-up that, they're donating $200 million by 2020 to 200 different communities around the planet, which
wow.
is pretty amazing. But let's get back to the original point. So this money is going to the USO. The USO, what that does is it helps our military and military men and women that served our country. It helps them it helps them go from retirement, like I just did, into the next phase of their lives. And it places them, it gives them job opportunities. The USO Pathfinder, which is kind of like a counselor that helps you go from retiring from serving our country into whatever the next phase of your career is. It helps you figure out, they help you figure out your insurance plan, how that works. So many different unknowns for our servicemen and women going into this next phase of their lives. He's a pathfinder. He or she helps them find that next career, that next job, whatever it may be, and really helps them along their way and transitions them into their next career.
I had no idea that the USO did. I thought the work that they do by entertaining troops alone is noble work. I didn't know that they were doing all that. That's
they
great.
Do a lot, but FedEx is really helping the USO Pathfinder help our military and military servicemen and women move on to that next phase of their life.
Well, that's great. Good for you with that association. And you're a father. You're in Idaho, and you have four kids, huh? Are you more of a Paw Patrol or a PJ Masks, or where is the TV getting tuned these days?
The TV is getting tuned into whatever will divert them from whatever nonsense they're getting into focusing on that television.
I see,
and
yeah.
Sitting down and being quiet and mellowing out and not fighting and wrestling and throwing things and drawing on the wall. So currently I have a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. And he's the only one that really needs that, because my 9-year-old's sitting back here on my iPhone, and he's done. He's good.
And they and it's funny, the rub is that when you get to about that age, then not only are you now not interested in Paw Patrol anymore, now you must voice disdain for it because now you're too old.
Too
you're
cool.
Yeah.
You're too cool.
PJ yeah. Masks. What do you think I am?
See, I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what PJ Masks is.
Really?
I'm into
Moves
the
fast.
2-year-old. Yeah. You know what he's super into is YouTube has a kids toy channel. So he'll go on YouTube and watch Lightning McQueen cars being played with by adults or being played with by other kids, and he's super into that. So if there's riffraff going on, like we've been talking about, I'm retired, so I don't have a whole lot going on in the morning. And so breakfast, getting out of the door for school, packing lunches, all that stuff. If the 2-year-old's a disaster, I walk over to the computer, I turn on YouTube, and it's just quiet. It's just peaceful and quiet.
Who is the greatest Carson of them all?
Johnny.
I didn't rush into it. There's Harry. He's in the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Football player or just
anybody,
greatest?
I don't care. I'm just talking to you about Carsons.
Johnny.
City.
You don't like
the
Johnny, obviously.
I think Johnny was good.
Good. I think he was great.
Watching Johnny, neither you or me was around during the height of Johnny Carson's powers.
No, but he he's still, no doubt. I didn't grow up watching him on TV, but he's still a prevalent name.
Considered the gold standard, I guess. Who is your favorite late night guy?
Conan.
Oh, because of the redhead.
See?
He's very good.
See? Yeah.
I like that. He's great.
Yeah. We stick together.
What about I think, well, I don't want to tell you my opinion. I want to hear what you think. What do you make about these guys? Because you're in this position of obviously having played for multiple NFL teams. What about this business about signing a one-day contract? For whose benefit is this? I want to sign with my old team. Like, the delusion of those 5 minutes. I don't understand for whose benefit. What do you get from that?
Why not just retire with that team? Why do you have to sign a one-day contract?
Right. Yes.
So is that? It's got to be some sort of league rule that in order for you to go out, you have to be under current contract with that team, maybe?
Do you think?
That's a silly rule. It's just like the...
It's just a bizarre, deluded, kind of like childish thing to do to say, like, I know I went off and did stuff with some other teams.
You know what it is?
But
it's a media thing. It's for you guys. It's for you media guys.
Well, I don't care for it. I'm
well,
speaking out
about
against it.
Do something about it. Is this the beginning of doing something about it?
I think you have a
good
powerful
luck.
Voice in the world of pro football, and if you lend your support,
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something crazy today.
Before
and
we
stop this one-day contract stuff.
Before
it's over.
When you say it like that, it sounds curmudgeonly, you know?
Yeah. I don't know what curmudgeonly is,
like
but
other people's other fun. Yeah, it's just being
that's
mean.
That's a good word.
Before we started, you observed, and I was talking to you. I have become this guy. I have now 7 of these dark navy button-down shirts, and it's all I wear now. And you smiled on that idea. It's like Einstein. I don't know who else does it besides Einstein and me, but this frees me to not get bogged down mentally with what I'm going to wear, to instead focus on other, you know, important stuff like why are people signing one-day contracts?
Yeah, and what, you know, the layperson may ask what you and Albert have in common. You're both geniuses. So, I mean, that's saying a lot about your style and your brain.
Yeah, I mean, Al and I park our cars in the same garage on many subjects, you know. I don't know.
You probably did.
Tell me about this, Carson. Something that I have been fascinated by doing with pro football players. This sounds pretty, you know, down the middle, but for real, I love hearing what is the most memorable play of your career, could be good, bad, or otherwise, and walk me through it. And not like, oh yeah, that was a great thing or that was a terrible thing. Second by second in the huddle, was going on? Like, give me a minute on the most memorable play of your career.
You're really gonna dislike this answer. I don't have one play. Games?
A play from a game. Yeah, I was talking about one of those. Not your favorite stage performance that you saw.
It wasn't that spectacular of what I did. It was more what Larry was able to do with the ball. Mm-hmm. But it was in 2015. It was in overtime in a playoff game against Green Bay. and something happened up front. The pocket collapsed. I did a spin move, which I got made fun of a bunch because I'm not a spin move kind of guy. You know, that's not my deal. But spin move, I rolled out to the right. And
I'm glad you said that because
you were going to say it.
Yeah. I don't associate Carson Palmer with spin moves.
Yeah. So I spun move out of the pocket. I rolled the right. I threw it back across the field to Larry, and Larry ran, I don't know, 114 yards down the field and won the game. And it was a playoff game. So I guess if there's one play. But, again, aside from my very unathletic-looking spin move, the play was made by Larry and the tackles he broke and the guys that were blocking downfield. But that was a play that I'd have to say was my most memorable.
Yeah, I would think that's hard to beat. And now they turn the page to Wilkes. Have you met with him? Do you think the vibe stays the same there? Because from the outside looking in and talking with a number of guys, including you, it really does seem like about as delightful a collection of guys. You know, the deeds on the field notwithstanding. Pat Pete and the Honey Badger during his time there and Darnell Dockett and so on. Everybody seems like and Larry Fitzgerald couldn't be a nicer guy. But I assume that starts with Arians at the top, right? Or is Wilkes going to establish or try to maintain that same kind of vibe?
No, I think every coach wants to put to make it their own. And Bruce did it a very different way than most. And I think from what I can tell, and I don't know Coach Wilkes, but he seems kind of like he's going to do it his way no matter what, regardless of the culture that was previously there. But I'm excited about it. You know, I'm excited to not be playing anymore and not be in OTAs right now and practicing football this time of year and just, you know, I'm enjoying that part of it. But from a distance and watching it, and, you know, you can't help but watch it and click on ArizonaCardinals.com and all that. And I'm really excited about the future. You know, they're replacing a lot. And there's been a lot of turnover on the offensive line, the quarterback position, but they're getting David Johnson back. There's not a lot of guys in the receiver room right now that have been there or caught a lot of balls, but I like where they start, and that's with Michael Bidwell. By far the best owner that I've ever played with or played for. He's passionate. He wants to win. He's willing to do what it takes to win. It doesn't matter. He's all in on winning, and nothing else matters. You know, giving Steve Keim an extension to be there for 2022, it's a brilliant move. Steve's come in and done a phenomenal job. He's drafted well. He's done a phenomenal job in the offseason and signing the right vets, not to huge blockbuster contracts, but getting the right guys in the locker room, the right leadership, surrounding certain young positions that maybe are high draft picks with veterans around them to kind of show them the way. I think back to last year, bringing in Carlos Dansby, who's played for 16 years, phenomenal linebacker, hopefully a future Hall of Fame linebacker, but bringing him in for the young linebacker crew that were first-round picks and third-round picks and second-round picks. Deion Buchanan was a first-round pick. But they've really invested on that side of the ball, so they bring in a guy that takes care of his body, studies film, knows that he's just surrounded the young guys with the right vets, not the highest-priced vets, but the right vets. So, you know, there's a lot of talk and the windows are closing, the windows are open. I think they're keeping that window open for a sustained amount of time. It's unbelievable to this day and age that everybody thinks the window's 2 years or 3 years or four. The window's completely dependent on your salary cap and where you are with a salary and what your quarterback situation is. So, you know, I think that window is going to get more and more open, and hopefully in this draft they can continue to replenish the young talent and move on from there.
It is funny, that assumption, because you still hear it, you know, media types always say it, even players say, this guy got drafted, now he'll be snapping the ball to the quarterback for the next decade. Like, that's highly unlikely. Do you feel there's fracturing in those you know, football loyalties because of free agency and all that? I mean, it seems like it's inevitable, and maybe that's why players are so so tied emotionally to their college team, maybe even more than their pro team, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, once you sign a letter, a letter of intent to go to a university, 99% of the kids end up finishing their college careers.
I guess that's, yeah, proactive choice, right, instead of being selected, right?
Yeah, every once in a while you get a transfer because of the Penn State scandal or coaching change or whatever it may be. So you get a handful of guys that'll transfer. But for the most part, you get to pick where you want to go. And so you go there and you finish there. In the NFL, there is no picking. You get picked. So there is no choice. You got to deal with the hands you're dealt and move on from there. And then you get a chance to test free agency and go wherever you want from there. But not really, though, because you don't really get to go wherever you want. You get to go
true,
to
right.
the handful of teams that are willing to pay you the most money. So, yeah, I mean, college, once you get past college, there's no more, I want to go to USC or Texas or Miami or wherever it is. It's just different.
That's interesting. Who is now, as you look back, who, when I say one of these words, which one hits you in the gut? And you're like, I hate that word. Ravens, Steelers, Seahawks, 49ers, Bruins.
Bruins.
Bruins, still.
Bruins, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there's that's a real rivalry. I mean, with Arizona, there's a decent rivalry with the Seahawks, but it's not over decades. You know what I mean? It's a rivalry, but for the most part, one team was really bad and the other team was okay, or one team was really, really good and the other team was bad. But when you look at the USC use of their rivalry, it's decades and decades and decades old. And so, I mean, I think the Steelers-Ravens rivalry is a real rivalry. But Bengals-Steelers, Bengals-Browns, those aren't real rivalries. Those are rivalries for two cities.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
That's right. I always say the Steelers and Ravens are actual rivals. The Bengals would like to be the Steelers and Ravens' rival, but they haven't won enough. I want to say something on record because I root for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm from Pittsburgh, PA. I want to go on public record here. Man to man, you would have won that game.
It's easy to say that.
No, I really do think you would have won that game. I think you would have won that game, and history would have been very different.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what makes this game so great. That's what makes this game so great. That's why so many people love this game. You know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Mm-hmm. If only, maybe, you know, all those words – that don't mean anything. At the end of the day, it either happened or it didn't. And I was on a golf cart getting pulled off the field in the first quarter, and that game was over for me. But
yeah,
we did go into Pittsburgh and beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
Yes, you did.
And we had played very well against them, and we had a good we would have had a shot.
It would have been fascinating to see how that AFC playoffs would have played out. Last thing, one thing that did happen is that you were on the wrong side of some bets, and you had to dress up like Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and Mermaid and all that kind of stuff. How come
you didn't pray? You're supposed to, like, before we go on air and before the camera, you're supposed to say, hey, by the way, I'm going to bring up all the times you dressed like an idiot and looked like a fool. But you're catching me off guard.
You know, you know what? You're right. Now that you bring it up, I do feel like a heel. Let's just, you know what? We can cut that. We're not going to, but we could.
I had some good ones. I had some good. I dressed up like a flamingo one time that was pretty good.
I didn't see that one.
Actually, in 2014 or 2015, at the end of the year, they come out with the Pro Bowl ballots and. They had just come out, and I had lost the quarterback challenge bet, the bucket drill, which is what sets up the loser having to dress like a fool and look like an idiot. So the Pro Bowl thing had just come out. I had been elected to the Pro Bowl, and the next day I show up to the game, and they had made like a hula skirt with some coconut shell bikini.
Yes.
And so I had to wear – and I know you're going to probably show a picture of that. But let me just say this. I hadn't been in the tanning salon for a while, and I had missed my gym routine.
Ginger, you can't go in a tanning bed. That's ill-advised.
My gym routine was a little bit off, so my abs weren't right. And so that's what happened there. Mm-hmm. But you guys can go in and, like, spray paint some abs and, like, give me a good bronze.
We definitely won't do that.
Do that for me. Do that.
Okay, you know what? We'll consider doing that because you're a delightful fellow.
You have CGI in one of these little boxes. There's some CGI in here.
Yeah, we'll send it off to George Lucas's company. I'm sure he can do
some
great
DreamWorks.
With that. Yeah, DreamWorks.
Make this dream come true. Look. Give me some abs. Give me some color.
Look at the dad of the year knowing DreamWorks because you see all the DreamWorks
pictures. I've seen every one of them. I've bought every one of them. I've actually, you know what drives me nuts about that? Is I'll buy the movie and then I'll realize later I'll look at the bill and my kids will end up renting the movie over and over and over again because they don't quite, they're not old enough to.
Sorry, Dreamers. You're right. No, it's a paradox and it's a frustrating one that they're smart enough to know how to buy the thing. But
and rent it and rent it and rent it and rent it. Yeah.
Right. But then they still throw their hands in the air. Yeah. Anyway, we've covered a lot of soil here, and yet I feel like we could go on for another hour.
Let's talk more about FedEx. You want to get back on to FedEx?
I'm going to FedEx you
Global Giving Initiative.
A dark denim shirt for your collection, and maybe that could spread. And we have a lot of good work we have to get to about stopping these one-day contracts. And you know, and we also have to get Brian Baumgartner into the Speedo in front of the Tahoe.
I just changed my mind, though. I don't want to go midnight blue like you.
Why not?
That's your look. I want to go Johnny Cash all black. Ooh. Cowboy boots. I'm in Dallas.
I mean, you seem like a good fella, but, I mean, that's Johnny Cash. Know, the man in black, you're going to pull that off?
Nobody can do it.
We won't know until you try.
You're right. I'm in. FedEx it to me.
Three, everybody, a.k.a. Carson Palmer. Thanks for the time, fella.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Good to see you.
You're listening to David Damashek.
What a disappointment that I didn't ask Carson Palmer. So I go CP. I throw to him as though anybody's ever called him CP, and his number was 3. So is he CP3? That should have been the first question. Did Chris Paul steal CP3 from him? I don't know, and I don't care anymore because it's time for the weekend. I have hockey to watch, everybody. I got to keep focused on what's going down in Pittsburgh and our nation's capital. Let's go, Pens. We'll have for you next week maybe Tank Lawrence MVP?
Yeah.
We'll decide about that. We have all our stuff for you at Damashek on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Make sure you check out the broadcast with MVP and Erica Tamposi. Also floating around a bunch of celebrities in that as well. Make sure you track that down. Good sports on the Adam Carolla Show. Oh, so much to check out. We'll talk to you next week. It's been a thin slice of heaven.